Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
On this beautiful Easter morning, I was up at my usual in the middle of the night, about four this morning actually, and the moon was as bright, it was like being sitting outside during the day. And I got to thinking about what it must have been like for Mary to have gone to the tomb, because she went when it was still dark. And I didn't know whether maybe she had a full moon or not, and I looked in the back of my yard where there's a little bush type of tree, and it almost looked like a cave opening. And I really couldn't see it, but I could see it a little bit, and it got me thinking about what that must have been like all those years ago. But one of the reasons I like this time of year are the marshmallow peeps that they sell this time of year. Now, you have to be hardcore to like marshmallow peeps because they're pure sugar. Not only do I like them when they're stale and hard. Who all likes them when they're stale and hard? Right on, right on. I open the package, let them live for a little while. There's a town called Westminster in Maryland with an incredible peep show. And by peep show, they mean... You thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? Yeah, you know me too well. By peep show, they mean, as they say, a display of marshmallow masterpieces featuring more than 150 sculptures, dioramas, graphic arts, and oversized characters and mosaics created and inspired by peeps. This sweet event attracts thousands of visitors each year, and from their advertisement, they say, in our 263-seat movie theater, you'll also enjoy short peep videos and footage of peeps being created in the Just Born Factory. Peeps-themed treats will be available at our concession stand, and the lobby will be jam-packed with Peeps and Company merchandise. Now, I didn't go there, and I'm not sure I ever would, but it did sound intriguing. For many, just like those folks in Westminster, Maryland, Easter is a hyped-up kind of day. Parents are busy filling Easter baskets, hiding eggs for kids to find, and trying to get everyone to church on time, if they're churchgoers. For the folks in Westminster, Maryland, it's getting their peep show ready. For kids, they're busy eating the candy from their baskets and trying to find eggs hidden, and not wanting to stop to go to church. And for ministers, it's one of the two high holy days, and the sermon has to be hopefully at least good. It's a lot of pressure today. And there's a lot of energy associated with this day. For the church, Easter Day is unlike any other day of the year. It's the day that we come together to proclaim that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, we acknowledge this in spoken as well as unspoken ways during the rest of the year, but this is the day we celebrate it happening. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. There are times when it makes sense to discuss the Christology of resurrection, asking perhaps, did it happen? Did it not happen? How do I know what to believe? But this is not the day for that. Pretty much everyone has an opinion on this topic. And my job is not to convince you or dissuade you one way or the other. Mine and your job today is to simply celebrate the risen Christ. Hallelujah. I will acknowledge, however, that to our modern ears, the notion of bodily resurrection is difficult to comprehend or make sense of. We have to get out of our own way, our comfort zones, in order to process this. On this day, we simply need to embrace the mystery. Besides the actual event, there are other ways to think about Jesus and the resurrection that I think are helpful and have meaning. I was really surprised, I have to say, that the kids knew as much as they did. And that they were, it was interesting how open they were to everything. They didn't ask any questions. Now, they may have questions for you all, but I decided to leave that in your hands when you get home today. And don't call me. So rather than just focusing on what happened in the past, the question we need to focus on this Easter Sunday is, where is Jesus now? In your life and in my life. Who are we now in light of the risen Christ? Who, what must we become? Reverend Alan Bream says that in order to connect the risenness of Jesus with the risenness of us and all creation, there are two fundamental things. Jesus is now, and the resurrection has consequences. I thought that was interesting. The resurrection has consequences. Easter isn't something we simply commemorate once a year, and it's not the property of the past. Easter is every day, all day, which is why we as Christians call ourselves Easter people. We are an Easter people. Resurrection is about the healing and restoration of wounded and severed relationships. Relationships between God and humanity, between people, and ultimately among the elements of creation. A theologian puts it this way: the resurrection is not the resuscitation of the body. That's not where the action is. That's not the biggest bang for the buck. Those are my words. The resurrection is the beginning of the transfiguration of the world. Easter is about life. Humans have a longing for that which is beyond, that which is greater, that which is transcendent, for that which gives us meaning, purpose, and peace. We may not be able to understand it or to find the words to describe that feeling, but that feeling is present in all people. Reverend Pam Driscoll reminds us that the theologian Augustine called it longing for God, the restlessness that only finds rest in God. Paul Tillich, another theologian, called it ground of being. And Kierkegaard called it the leap of faith that quells anxiety. Easter is the Christian answer to that longing. Mary came to the tomb thinking that it was the end for Jesus. She doesn't recognize in that moment new life, even when it was right in front of her. And remember, Mary was the disciples who got Jesus, who understood what he was about. She was the one who knew what Jesus was about more than any other of the disciples. But it took Jesus speaking to her to realize what had happened that day, to realize the promise of Jesus fulfilled, that God will never abandon Mary and God will never abandon us, no matter what. This does not mean that we will get everything that we pray for. Just like when a little kid prays for a new bike or a catcher's mitt. God's being present to us isn't about getting that new bike or a new house or job, but rather about the transformative power of God to transform us from who we are and to who we can become as followers of Jesus. And that your past, the present, the future has no power. That will not define you. We are defined by life, by love, the light of God that's in us and that flows through us, making all things new. It's about the day that you visit a jail for the first time or a prison, or feed the homeless, or pray for those children at the border in cages. That's the kind of transformative power that Jesus and God bring to us. It's not about whether or not you do something wrong or you lie or any of that stuff. It's about who we are in the world and how do we live in this world as justice-seeking people so that all people live equally. The good news of Easter is that God does not operate within the limits we can see. Easter calls us to a faith, to trust in God with all that we are, to entrust ourselves and our actual everyday lives completely to something that we cannot see, feel, taste, or touch. For some, that's easy. For others, not so much. I find it to be very difficult. It's hard to have faith in something that we cannot engage in the way that we're accustomed to engaging. Reverend Alan Breen says that one way to experience God's love in the presence of Christ is through the love, support, and affirmation we receive from other people who have experienced that love and life and support and have come away transformed. One way God calls us by name is through the community of faith. Believing in God is not about church. It's not about a building. But having faith in God and having faith in ourselves to understand and love God is about the people with whom we engage. He says, I experience the presence of Christ through the love and support and affirmation I receive from other people who have experienced that life and love. I too had a similar experience when I was in high school, 53 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. I had a lot of support from the folks in my church. I was one of those church kids. And in fact, they were the ones through whom I first experienced a call to ministry. Had they not tapped me on the shoulder, I wonder if and or when it would have happened, whether I would have been called or accepted a call to ministry. Breen continues, faith enables us to move beyond believing, but only believing in what we can see, to entrusting our lives to God, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, it's a different path. It's a whole new way of life that sees the possibility in every death, sees the light shining in the deepest darkness, and sees hope in the midst of despair. But it isn't easy. There are twists and turns and rabbit holes to move through in a life of faith. And it really takes a leap for all of us to truly entrust our lives to the kind of hope that God awakened in the resurrection of Jesus on Easter morning. The leap can be scary because it can feel like leaping into the abyss, when in fact, we're leaping toward God, into the arms of God who waits for us and offers us grace and peace and mercy and love and light and life. A richer life than we would otherwise have, and one called to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. This life to which we are called is not about the church and whether you go to church or not. It's not about a building, but rather it's about the beloved community that you gather around you, in which all are called and invited to follow Jesus to the cross and ultimately the resurrection.